Good morning. Welcome to worship. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be glad in it. It's been a tough week. It's been a really tough week. Numbers are rising in infections. It's come into our congregation. It's been a difficult week. This is the second week of Advent, a week traditionally often associated with faith. And so, while it has been a tough week, we also have faith that God is with us. And so as we begin our worship, we keep that in mind. And so let us begin our worship with the confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
In Advent, we look for Christ to come in fullness so that we may know the peace, goodness, and justice of Christ's love in the world. In the lighting of the flame, we look to Christ in hope.
Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now it is time for our children. And so good morning. It is so good to be with you. The Lord be with you. So we have here this big thing that's only here for a couple weeks each year. Do you know what it's called? It's called the Advent wreath. And you might wonder, why is this here? Why do we put this out for just a couple of weeks before Christmas? Well, the Advent wreath helps us to remember a couple of things. For one thing, it's always in a circle. Now, the circle reminds us that God's love goes on forever. Like a circle, you can go round and round and never get the end. God's love comes to us again and again. We never reach the end of it. So the wreath is always in a circle. There's a legend that the first Advent wreaths were actually wagon wheels. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've heard that. Now, on top of the wreath, we put evergreen. That's to remind us that in God, we have everlasting life. Our life is always green and new. And so we put that there to remind us of everlasting life. We also, on this wreath, have some berries that are red. And that reminds us that it is through Jesus' sacrifice of his blood that we have that eternal life. And then we put candles on the wreath, and we light some each week. In some places, they have a candle for each day of Advent. So you have 24 candles, and so each day you light another one. But we're only here on Sundays, so we have four. And so each week we light a new one. And the candles tell us that Jesus is the light of the world. And so as we get closer and closer to Christmas and celebrating Jesus with us, the light gets brighter and brighter. Sometimes we talk about the first candle as one reminding us of hope, and the second one reminds us of love. But there are lots of different traditions, and so different families even have wreaths in their home. You might have one in your house. And so it's a way each day to remember that Jesus is the light of the world and that God's love is always with us. And so that's why we have this here, this time of year. It's so good to have you with us in worship.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are grass, their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of the Lord.
Righteousness shall prepare a pathway for God. You have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people and blotted out all their sins. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Truly, your salvation is very near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our land. Righteousness shall prepare a pathway for God. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and peace shall prepare for God a pathway. Righteousness shall prepare a pathway for God.
The second reading is from 2 Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will not be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with promise, we wait for the new heaven and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. The word of the Lord.
People of Israel, you heard the prophet tell, a virgin mother will bear Emmanuel. She conceived him, God with us, our brother whose birth restores hope and courage to children of this earth.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Comfort, my people, comfort. So cries Isaiah at the beginning of this week's first reading. What comes to your mind when you think of comfort? What does the word conjure in your head? Comfort can have a lot of different meanings. We can think of a nurse caring for a patient in the hospital, soothing their pain. We might also think of a mother calming a child after a nightmare. To comfort can mean to ease suffering and anxiety. Too often, though, I think we confuse comfort with being comfortable. We think of living in comfort as having no worries, having our needs taken care of a relaxed and stress-free existence. Contrast that with the image of John the Baptizer. John appears in the wilderness, dressed as a wild man, wearing camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey, the foods of the wilderness. Now, I've never been to the wilderness around the Jordan, but I have lived in some wilderness areas, including a desert and a jungle. And while we might have romantic notions of going back to nature and the joys of the wilderness, the reality is there is nothing comfortable about the wilderness. When you're in the wilderness, everything is a potential danger. Thorns, insects, snakes, extreme weather. You can never let your guard down because every moment carries with it mortal risks. I often say that I enjoy more the coming out of the wilderness, having spent time there, than the actual time in the wilderness. And certainly, in John's time, the wilderness symbolized a place that you don't want to be in, a place away from the comforts of life, the safety of living together. And so John goes there, and he wears the clothing of living in the wilderness, and he eats the wild food that can be found there. He is of the wilderness, of the place of discomfort. And he preaches an uncomfortable message. Repent from your sin. He points to the errors in people's ways. He challenges the systems that make some rich and others poor. He criticizes the arrogance of the powerful. He pulls on the tradition of the prophets like Isaiah, speaking against the way that society fails to care for those on its edges, living on its uncomfortable edge while giving this uncomfortable message. John is not a comfortable figure. And yet, people flock to hear him. In Mark, as we read today, it tells us that people came from the countryside and from Jerusalem to hear him. In other words, from the rural areas and from the city. In many ways, talking about the city and the countryside is something like the way that we talk today about red states and blue states. It represents different ways of thinking about the world, about how to approach daily life, even how religion is practiced. And yet, they all left the comfort of home to travel to a place nobody wanted to be in order to hear his uncomfortable message. Things aren't the way that God wants them to be. And Mark identifies him as the voice crying out in the wilderness, referring back to Isaiah, making the way ready for the Lord. And just in case we missed it, Mark starts in the very first sentence of his gospel by identifying it as the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He sets the titles right there for us to know. Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. And so Mark is telling us right up front that this story is the story of Jesus. And we know that Jesus is the Son of God, and the story is one of good news for us. It begins, though, with the uncomfortable message of John the Baptizer. It starts with the promise that in those uncomfortable words, we find the beginning, the clearing of the way for the good news of comfort expected by Isaiah. That it is brought to life, it's brought to fruition in our lives and in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Hearing the comfort of the good news starts with recognizing the places of discomfort. And this past week has been an uncomfortable one, and not one of our choosing. Since Wednesday, it has at times felt as if every few hours I received a message of another member of this congregation who has received news of having COVID. After so many weeks of not having any cases, there have been quite a few this week. And so it's been an uncomfortable time. Times of discomfort for those who have it. Times of helplessness as there's nothing to be done but make phone calls. We have been forced into a wilderness time where it feels as if danger lurks around every corner, literally with every breath that we draw. This year has been truly challenging. This week has been truly challenging, truly shaking. I'm not minimizing that one bit. It has been uncomfortable. But what is also true is that living in Moorestown, New Jersey, its surrounding areas, indeed living in most of the U.S., in so many places, has for many years meant a level of a sense of safety. That things are relatively safe here, that we can get, and so we can get used to having some sense of comfort daily, of being comfortable, of expecting comfort in our lives. And so this pandemic that is engulfing us is disrupting that sense of being comfortable. And I think that's part of what is so troubling for so many of us, why it shakes us so much. That sense of being able to expect comfort has been stirred up a bit. Because the fact is, the deeper reality of life in this world is that there are struggles and dangers always lurking about, and that can erupt into our lives at any time and explode any sense of comfort. The wilderness is never far from us. We too easily push that aside, but COVID has been shaking us out of that comfortable complacency and unsettling us. And so in this way, this past year for many has been a sort of awakening to the depth of struggle that can fill our lives. It shows how fragile our sense of peace is, how much we take for granted the comforts of the little rituals, the little connections we make each day. And the fact is, when we feel comfortable, it is harder to feel the urgency in the ways the world is crying out for God to come, for God to make straight the crooked paths of life. It's not that we need to apologize for comfort, but it is true that comfort can take us a step away from that deep down urgency, that need for God to come. Isaiah calls out, "Comfort my people, comfort." Perhaps that can resonate with us more deeply this year. It's not that our need is greater, but perhaps our awareness of our need for God to come has become sharper. This Advent is not like other Advents we have experienced. Certainly, we can grieve that. We can grieve for what has been lost, just as we grieve for those who are suffering around us right now, just as we feel the apprehension and uncertainty mount in this time. We would not choose to seek a time such as this, a time of such great discomfort. Nonetheless, Perhaps the challenges we face today provide an opportunity for a more authentic experience of Advent, a more authentic sense of it as a time of longing, of struggling, of feeling the groaning world waiting for God, for recognizing our need more clearly. Perhaps it opens a window for us to see and grieve all of the struggles that this world faces. Perhaps it can pull us all together to hear the message of the baptizer anew, his call to change our direction and look with hope to the one who is to come, to receive with joy the message that the Messiah is coming, that the bringer of peace is at hand, that into our discomfort, God brings the promise of comfort. God has not left us alone, even in these trying times. The message of Isaiah, like the message of John, was not that completion of God's comfort was at hand, but that it is on the way. It is a message of hope in a time of struggle. In the messiness, in the grief of this world, hope is coming. Hope is here. God is on the way. In Isaiah's proclamation, it was going to take a long time for the promised comfort to fully arrive. But God was beginning to turn around their deep discomforts. God was making a promise of the good that is to come. God continues to promise the good that is to come, to promise that hope is real and God has not abandoned us. God is calling us to ready ourselves, to not fall into despair, and to trust in God's goodness. In short, God is calling us to faith. God is on the way and will not leave us abandoned. Hear the cries from the wilderness, the cry to recognize the depths of the struggles and the discomfort around us. And all the more importantly, hear the cry of good news, the joy and promise of God with us. May we anticipate that joy deeply and authentically, this year and always, in comfort and discomfort, in faith that God is near. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us join together confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. God of power and might, comfort your people and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers for everyone in need. Be with us as we long to see you in this world that seems so divided. Help us to see connection in you. Be with those who give of themselves for the sake of our community, especially first responders, frontline workers, and all those who work to promote health and protection. We pray for students and teachers and those seeking peace. We lift up all who suffer illness, and especially those affected by COVID-19. Hear our prayers for everyone in need.
Our response today is, your mercy is great. Faithful God, you teach us to wait for you with faithfulness and patience. Sustain and support us in our doubts and questions. Nurture our faith as we discern and enact your mission. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Loving God, you set the stars in the sky and breathe life into the earth. Renew the face of creation where it is in need of your healing touch. Mend the wounds of environmental damage and restore balance to ecosystems so that all creation can declare your praise. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Steadfast God, you never tire of seeking justice. Where people suffer from discrimination, judgment, and injustice, speak words of truth and comfort. Lead us toward a world where faithfulness sprouts underfoot and righteousness rains down from above. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Compassionate God, we pray for the people in our families and congregation who live with depression, anxiety, chronic pain, addiction, and other invisible illnesses. We pray for those who are lonely, isolated, or homebound, especially Nancy Beth, Dallas, Marge, Karen, Paul, John, Janet, Avis, Alexis, Dave, Chris, Elise, Patricia, and Willie. Ease their suffering and support them when they struggle. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Leading God, you ask us to make uneven ground smooth. Make even the disparities between your people. Sustain and support people with physical and intellectual disabilities. Accompany disability advocates who work for a world accessible to all. Teach us to celebrate the great diversity in our midst. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Tender God, you know sorrow and joy alike. We pray for those in our families and congregation who are not joyful in this holiday season. Comfort those who grieve. Be a companion to all who are lonely, and tend those who are sick or struggling with depression, especially Mike B, Denise, Mike M, Skip and Jerry, Joe and Kim, Allie and Jerry, Justin and Gabby, Brian and Giselle, Sharon, Jesse, Janice, and Jackie, and gather all people in your healing embrace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful God, we pray for all members of this congregation. We give thanks for their faithful presence among us and for the gifts that they share. Today we pray especially for May, Marna, Larry, Valerie, Mike, Michelle, George, Caden, Aaron, Cindy, and Bruce. Bless them and protect them. Help them to know your continual presence in their lives, and lift them up through the bonds of Christian fellowship through this congregation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for the saints who have prepared your way in the wilderness and taught us to continue their faithful work. Make their generous lives an example for all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Draw near to us, O God, and receive our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace.
God's peace, David.
Peace with you.
Peace, Eric.
Peace with you. Peace with you.
God's peace, Dante.
Peace with you.
And peace to all viewers out there. Once again, good morning, and welcome to live stream worship from St. Matthew Lutheran Church. If you're a first-time viewer, we hope you find this worship service to be a meaningful experience, and you'll join us again soon. Also, we want all to know that there will be two pre-recorded Christmas Eve worship opportunities available on YouTube. One will be a children's activity time, and the other a Christmas Eve worship. Both should be available by noon on December 24th. And in addition to those, there will be a scheduled Zoom gathering at 7 p.m. for Christmas Eve fellowshipping. Keep watching the eBlast for further information. Also, those doing the Christmas recordings would like to personalize the Christmas Eve worship for us by asking you to snap a photo of your family with your nativity scene and email it to the office by December 9th. That's this Wednesday. Did you know Karen W. and retired Pastor Peggy are looking to add a little bit of fun to our lives? You bet. They're inviting us to the first of what is hoped to be many fun gatherings for adults. When? That's Friday, December 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. What? It's a game night via Zoom in the comfort of your own home. So they can properly prepare, and this is very important, please RSVP by this Tuesday, December 8th, to Pastor Peggy by phone or email. Now, recapping our financial stewardship, since we're not meeting in person, please mail in your estimate of giving cards or drop them in the box at the front door. While you're here, you can pick up items from your mail slot, the new phone directory, offering envelopes, and grab an Advent devotional. Also, please remember the deficit reduction appeal now underway through the end of this year. This is in addition to your regular giving to the extent that you are able. For this special appeal, identify this extra gift as deficit reduction. Every donation, regardless of amount, will help. Thank you. And due to the COVID resurgence, Pastor Eric's installation, originally scheduled for this morning, is being rescheduled. More information on that will follow. But if you haven't had the chance to chat with him yet, you can do so next Sunday when he'll be providing a Q&A on the virtual adult forum. That's December 13th. And since we're not able to do our traditional giving tree this year, we are supporting the Burlington County Sheriff's Department 25th annual toy drive. You can participate by purchasing a modest toy gift and dropping it off unwrapped at the church Tuesday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to noon, and next Sunday, December 13th. So until Sunday, December 13th, you can drop off unwrapped toys. Did you know one of the best ways to stay informed of church news is by subscribing to and reading our weekly eBlast? It's very simple to subscribe. Just go to the St. Matt homepage, and click on subscribe to weekly emails on the right side column. Follow the brief instructions, no problem. And finally, join our virtual coffee hour via Zoom immediately following this worship. Thank you.
And now let us pray. Generous God, you have created all that is, and you provide for us in every season. Bless all that we offer, and through these gifts, the world will receive your blessing. In the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, we pray. Amen. Now let us pray in the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Go in peace, prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks be to God.